Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Roger Eric Tinch, art and online director for the CineVegas Film Festival. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Josh.
You're doing it, do the bedroom voice?
No. Just for that one bit.
Just okay, the one. Okay, that's good. Perfect. So the big movie this week is Bruno, Sacha Baron Cohen's latest provocation, his assault on America as Bruno, the gay Austrian TV fashion reporter.
Fashionista.
And I was one of the few people who did not care for Borat, the previous Sacha Baron Cohen movie, which is pretty much the same format. He plays his character. He goes around. He irritates people. It's mostly real situations.
Yeah, although, but it's definitely more, I guess, focused on the idea of celebrity life and that sort of thing, whereas Borat, to me, seemed like it covered – actually, Borat covered some of the same groundwork, I think, as Bruno, as far as, like, you know, the gay jokes and stuff like that. But
right.
It's definitely a more focused piece, you know.
There's more plot here, I think.
And actually, I think this is actually a little bit – which is weird, but I think it's a little more cohesive than Borat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess plot-wise, that's true. And I wonder –
pretty tight, yeah.
I think maybe because it's harder for him to find people that he can trick because lots of people are aware of him, that they have to spend more time on sort of his relationship with his assistant, who is obviously is another actor, and certain bits which were clearly staged.
That's the part that I couldn't get over. I mean, I like the movie, but yeah, the parts that were staged kind of – because in every single scene after that, you're wondering if this was staged, that was staged.
Right.
But, I mean, what was it about the comedy? Is it?
I just really don't – I don't care for the style of humor here. And I mean, I realize that this is – you know, comedy is a very subjective thing, obviously. And I don't think I laughed once throughout this movie or Borat. And I know, you know, you sat right next to me and I know that you did. It's not like I can argue that somebody didn't laugh if they did. But I just find that sort of candid camera style – assault on unsuspecting people, humor, just very unpleasant. And not like uncomfortable laughter, but just like I feel bad. And
there's a squirm factor.
It gets me not on his side, regardless of – and certainly some of the targets in this movie are complete idiots and deserving of scorn. I mean, there's these parents who – they're sort of stage parents who are auditioning their children for some photo shoot with Bruno's adopted African child and clearly willing to subject their children to horrific things. And there's these ministers who are trying to help people not become gay anymore.
Yeah. Well, see, and I think that's sort of like where the great comedy of it comes out of is these real people's – reactions like the stage moms and them willing to, like, you know, have their spoiler alert, have their child put up on a crucifix.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, that's funny. And they're only doing it to themselves in a way. If they did not, you know, if they were quote unquote normal people,
they wouldn't.
It wouldn't be as funny or as engaging. Now, I'm sure he picked the best.
Right. How many of the people did he talk to who said, no, you're crazy, I won't put my baby on a crucifix, right? And I mean, you're right. Those people are sort of hanging themselves by their own rope, at least in a lot of senses. I mean, some of them aren't. Like, he goes to Hollywood and he gets an agent who seems like a perfectly nice old guy, if a little out of touch, and yet they torment the guy for no other reason other than they think it will be funny to torment him. And I mean, that just makes me feel bad for the people, and it makes me angry. I mean, not literally like angry, but it doesn't make me like Bruno or want to see what he does next. And I think a lot of the targets he takes shots at here, I mean, and it was the same with Borat, are really obvious. Like a bunch of drunk rednecks in Arkansas who are there to see a cage fight are going to be upset when two dudes start making out.
Yeah,
I would never have guessed.
But he can't approach people that are accepting of gays because you're not going to get any sort of, you know, out of that. So he kind of has, yes, they are obvious targets, but that's the only way to get this huge contrast in how he's acting and prodding these people and how these people are reacting to normal situations. People wouldn't be like Bruno is. is. Right. He's definitely like pushing him to a corner. So to take that to another level and get the most stereotypical redneck guys that go hunting,
yes,
and him trying to climb into one of their tents.
The hunters were really actually quite measured. I mean, they don't like the idea that Bruno is gay, obviously, but they seem to sort of want to just keep to themselves, and they're happy to let him go hunting with them. And it's only right when he shows up at their tent naked. Like, come on.
Well, and you know. And I think some of, like, you know, like the psychology nature of it is that there's cameras there too.
Right.
You know, so these people, the way that they're acting wouldn't really be how they would, you know, be reacting to this Bruno guy.
Right.
But, I mean, it's all of those sort of weird, like, thoughts and feelings as you're watching it. And then on top of that, laughing, that to me is just such a, I don't know, such an interesting experience that you don't get very often, at least not, you know, on a narrative end.
Right.
That part was,
that's true. I mean, it's definitely not an approach that other people take with films, and that's true. But I just think it's a lot less complex than that. I think it's just a guy going around being a dick. And
he does unveil some stuff. I mean, spoiler again, one of the greatest sequences is when he goes and interviews that terrorist.
Right.
Which is pretty amazing that he can get that close to somebody. So there was a certain amount of intelligence involved in getting this interview and then attacking him head on.
It's not like he has something to say about terrorism or, I mean, he does the exact same thing with the terrorists that he does with the redneck hunters. He just works really hard to make them angry and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But an actual terrorist. And I mean, maybe he put himself in danger, and you see him walking around like the Middle East in the ridiculous Bruno outfit with the shortcut shorts and the accentuation of the bulge and all that stuff. And yeah, maybe, but I don't think
you weren't impressed.
I was not impressed. That's exactly.
And that, to me, like, I was impressed the full way. You know, like I said, just, you know, like the sequence with the terrorists. There's moments where he puts himself in real danger, and it just like just amazes me that, you know, he's really like dipping into like hot water and not afraid really to you know get any sort of physical repercussions. You know, like
right.
I don't know. I really. I mean, I definitely want to see it again and sort of, I don't know, see the underlying, you know, layers.
Yeah, I just don't think it has, like, I mean, he does put himself in danger, but I just don't think it's worth the risk. I don't think it pays off, so.
Well, it's worth it because it's for our entertainment.
So. Right, well, right, and people obviously are entertained, and you're certainly not the only one. And the screening we went to, people were laughing uproariously. And like I said, I can't say that no one will laugh because people were laughing. But I just think this kind of humor is really empty and not sophisticated in the way that he thinks that it is. And I think he's a good actor. I mean, mm-hmm. The Bruno character is completely fully realized and he commits to it. And when he's been an actor in narrative films like in Sweeney Todd or in Talladega Nights, he does a good job. He can create characters. But I just don't think it serves him well to do – I mean – it serves him well in that he makes a lot of money,
yeah.
But I don't know if it serves comedy or film well to be making these kinds of movies.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it comes down, what it comes down to is if you enjoyed Borat, if you enjoyed the Ali G show, I think you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy this. If you didn't enjoy any of that,
no, then it's the same thing.
You're not gonna like this
right.
movie,
and which I did not. So I don't know. I give it 2 out of 5 stars because I just didn't like it. But I mean, obviously you approve.
4.5.
4.5. Wow.
Should have been more nudity.
More nudity. There is quite a lot. It's really graphic. Really graphic. Which I will give him credit. He did not shy away from any of the gayness of this movie. It is extraordinarily gay.
One of my friends actually asked me, compared to Borat, because you know, Borat, there's some male frontal nudity.
Yes.
Does it have any of that in it? And I was like, no, but there was a lot of inferred black bars censoring areas.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, all right, I'm not gonna watch it.
Wow.
Yeah. Like there's actually, you know, people are really uncomfortable with that sort of stuff. So it's kind of funny to see that come from a friend of mine. So
and that doesn't bother me, but the comedy part does. So so let's move on to a movie that I think we both liked, which is Moon, which actually played at the Cinevegas Film Festival in June and is now opening over at the Brennan Theaters as well as the Regal Cinema Village Square. And I was really impressed with this movie. It's gotten a lot of hype. It played at Sundance in January. And since then, I think word has built up. And a lot of times movies like that end up being disappointing, but I thought this was a really well-made film. It's a science fiction, sort of cerebral kind of science fiction.
Yeah, cerebral is like definitely capital C.
With Sam Rockwell, who plays the lone inhabitant of this moon base where they're harvesting this sort of energy, and he's about to come to the end of his 3-year tour. And it's hard to discuss the plot of this movie without spoilers because
exactly.
There's a big – and actually, I knew what the big plot twist was, which comes only about a half an hour into the movie.
Yeah, they don't wait that long, and I think that's sort of the the brilliance of it is most films would take that twist and put it like to second to third act.
Right.
But they decided to do it, you know, first to second act. And from there to see that unfold more and more gave it this real like what is going to happen next.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I liked that about it. It wasn't a movie where you're waiting till the end to find out what is the twist, what is really going on. There's that twist. And you find it once the big plot twist comes, you sort of slowly find out more information about what's really going on so that it isn't just like this build towards one big thing.
Exactly.
It's more organic. And I really liked the way that it all came together.
Yeah. And, you know, because like – basically, Duncan Jones took a concept that's pretty, normal within the science fiction realm. Like for most science fiction, stories, the concept of this would be a sort of a side thing.
Right.
But he really does sort of, you know, place it in a context where you're thinking, if this really did happen, these are questions to ask.
Right.
You know, and it's something definitely like as we evolve, without spoiling it, that you kind of have to ask these questions.
Yeah.
And I thought that's the other part of it that made it really cerebral.
Yeah.
It's not only questioning what's going on in the story, what's happening to Sam Bell, the main character, but how is this, you know, within the context of everything that we're doing as a
right.
as a race.
So. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely thought-provoking, and Sam Rockwell, who is basically the only actor in this movie, is excellent,
yep.
And he has to do a wide range of different things and does an excellent job with that. And I liked Kevin Spacey is also – he does the voice of Gertie, the robot computer thing that helps Sam Bell. And I think it's obvious that you're meant to sort of equate Gertie with Hal from 2001 at first. And Hal, of course, was evil. Mm-hmm. And I like the sort of play with expectations of, like, what is Gertie going to do and how Gertie plays into the whole
which
plot. Right.
Yeah, the first moment I saw Gertie, I was hoping this isn't where it was going to go.
Right.
And, you know, but on top of that, too, as far as Gertie, what I do like about the fact that, yes, it is Hal.
Right.
It's like, you know, Hal 2000 because he has that emoticon
yes,
screen, which
screen,
is like,
yes, very
you know, if
stuff.
You've ever been on AIM,
yeah.
It's like, you know, the most sort of, typical thing that you'll see nowadays is emoticon. So I thought that was a nice little touch and kind of put it in a feature that isn't, you know, too
right,
distant.
Right, exactly. And it gives it a little bit of humor, which is nice. And
yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I don't know what the budget for this was, but it's definitely a smaller film and the special effects all worked really well. They were convincing and there's some complex stuff going on in here, again, sort of related to the big twist.
Mm-hmm.
I like this movie a lot. I think it's a lot like Solaris. Either the original or the Steven Soderbergh version, about sort of like the isolation and how that plays with memory and relationships and things like that. And those, I think both versions of Solaris are great movies and I liked this one a lot
yeah.
as well.
I mean, and you know, there's not only the story going for it, but the actual production design is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, the music, Clint Mansell, who does a lot of Aronofsky's films.
Right.
Does really great soundtrack work. And just as like a total film from top to bottom, it's really put together well. Looking forward to see what else Duncan Jones, what he has up his sleeve.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an excellent, very, very impressive debut for him. So I give it 4 out of 5 stars, and I think you probably liked it a lot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Wow. So better than Bruno.
Yeah. No, you know, I think this is the first podcast I've been on where I've actually liked both of the.
This is very exciting, momentous occasion. So yeah, I would say go see this. I can't recommend Bruno, but Moon, absolutely check out. A couple other things opening this week that you didn't see, but I unfortunately did see Blood, the Last Vampire, also featuring music by Clint Mansell, so not one of his better
Clint, what
pieces
are you doing?
Of work. Well, you know, he's got to get paid. This is it's also only over the Village Square, thank goodness, although it's been heavily advertised. I'm a big comic book reader, and if you read comic books or if you go to comic book like news websites, you would think that this was as big as Transformers given the advertisement. So it's crazy, but it's based on a Japanese anime anime, which I have not seen, and maybe is good, maybe is not. But this version, which is a live-action version in English, although set in Japan and featuring a lot of actors who are clearly not Americans trying valiantly to do American accents and failing, and directed by a French guy starring a Korean actress as this
Rainbow Coalition,
this
movie.
Main character who is not, as far as I could tell, the last vampire. There were many, many vampires in this movie. She is a vampire who is hunting the other vampires, and then there's a plucky American girl that she has to protect, and she has to destroy the woman who killed her father. And it just, it really doesn't really make any sense. And the action is completely incoherent. The special effects are horrible. These demons that look like Atari video game characters or something practically. And one thing I don't understand too is that the CGI squibs, that there's all these fight sequences with blood everywhere and it's all CGI blood. So it looks like little pellets sort of flying out from the characters. So anyway, don't see that. 1 out of 5 stars for Blood, the Last Vampire.
Wow, that's still a pretty good rating.
And also, briefly, a decent little documentary called Every Little Step, opening this week, which is about dancers auditioning for a chorus line on Broadway in 2006, and also sort of about the history of that whole play. It's very boosterish and very, like, rah-rah, this is a great play, and I think there's stuff there that they gloss over if you just read, like, Wikipedia. But as far as what it does, it's entertaining, and it made me want to go see a chorus line. So I think that's what it's meant to do. So 3 out of 5 stars for that. If you like Broadway, that might be worth checking out, or maybe at least renting. And speaking of rentals, not a whole lot of interesting movies coming up on DVD this coming week, but a couple TV things that we want to mention. Mad Men, which is a great, wonderful...
One of the best. I mean, I can't even say how much I love this show. I actually met the creator at an event here in Vegas. And just really, really nice guy, and just so psyched about, you know, season 3 that's coming up. So if you haven't seen Mad Men, I think now's the time to catch up.
Oh yeah,
you really get engrossed in it from the first episode on, and it's just probably the best writing and acting and directing that I've seen on drama television in a long, long time.
Yeah, it is extremely impressive, and it's the second season is what's coming out on DVD this Tuesday. And I mean, obviously start from the beginning if you haven't seen it at all, but I thought it really even stepped up in the second season, and it's definitely a slow-paced show, but over time you really get this sort of rich sense of all of the characters and who they are and their inner lives and how their work relates to their personal life and the time period and just all that stuff, I think, is really, really impressive.
Yeah, and you mentioned rich, and that's what it is. There's just like this rich texture in which there are scenes where there's no dialogue.
Right.
It's just characters either they just are in the scene, and you can kind of already grasp what is going on in their minds or what sort of is happening in the story. And that's, that to set that sort of those scenes up, the characters have to be really developed, which they are. And, you know, the setting, it being in the 60s and whatnot, it's so... I don't know. It's such a great universe to have these characters be in, because you can kind of experience it through them too. So it's
really good. It's excellent. It's definitely one of the best shows on TV. And I think the third season premieres in like mid-August. So if you hurry, you have time to catch up on the whole thing. So check that out. And also, amazingly, after God knows how many years and years and years of delays, the entire series, which was not a very long-lived series, of The State, the groundbreaking classic MTV sketch comedy series, is coming to DVD. And this is one of those things that I think not that many people saw when it first aired, but it has such a like reputation now, and so many of the people who were involved in the show have gone on to so many other things. I mean, movies like Wet Hot American Summer and Role Models and
Reno,
10.
Yeah, Reno 911.
Right, exactly.
There's a new show, Party Down, on Stars. That's Ken Marino and a couple other people from the States. So it definitely has... There's a sense of royalty with The State. You know, it's sort of like second to Kids in the Hall in a way, in which, this huge crew of guys. And I watched it when it came out in the 90s, like from the first episode on, when it was on MTV to its dismal debut on primetime cable. I forgot.
Oh, I think it was on CBS, was
CBS,
it, for a little
hour
bit?
Hour long, which, I mean, that episode is epic. It's it's so perfect, but Scared Away, I guess, a CBS brass, but so good. And no, if you love any of those movies or shows, like, right. Start from The State, and to me, the comedy has not aged since. It still stands up.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, I watched, I think, sporadically when it was originally on. And other than occasional, like, YouTube videos or something, I haven't really seen it since then. So I don't know if it would stand up for me, but I think it probably would. I mean, just given what all of these guys have gone on to do, mm-hmm. which is some really impressive stuff. And actually, Michael Ian Black and Michael Showalter from The State have a new show premiering on Comedy Central in like 2 weeks, yeah. I think, something
Michael,
like that, or a week.
Michael.
Michael and Michael Have Issues, I think yeah, is what it's yeah. called. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they're all still doing stuff, and they're all still very funny. So,
hilarious.
I mean, I think that's, yeah, definitely.
I'm getting it.
All right.
Are you?
I don't really buy DVDs.
I was talking to the audience.
Oh,
Josh.
The audience. Oh, sorry. Yes. But I think it's worth checking out. I'd be curious to go back and see it now and see if I all the little catchphrases and things and if it all. I bet it would hold up.
Do you remember I'll Dip My Balls in
I
It?
I do remember okay. I'll Dip My Balls in It.
So if you find that funny.
There you go. Well, it's got a context to it. It's not, if you find it inherently funny, though, run and get the DVD. But even if you don't, it's funny in context of the sketch.
Yes, yes.
So both of those, Mad Men Season 2 and State Complete Series, out on DVD on Tuesday, both worth checking out. And go see Moon in theaters. I think a hearty recommendation for that.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. And, you know, I'll even Bruno. That's
well, yeah, I mean, right, I think for me people are going to go see Bruno anyway, and hey, whatever, yeah. I can't stop
Make
them.
It a double feature weekend for people.
All right, my thanks to Roger Eric Tinch for joining me
thanks
this week.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.